Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. What a week, what a week. I saw Stars Born. I'm forever changed. And you guys, I have to talk about this for a second. So I saw Stars Born, much like every other gay in the country this week, and woman. The movie was great, okay? The movie was great, as expected. The music was good. I really loved all the sellout songs, you know, that Allie was singing. You know, why did you do that, do that, do that, do that, do that to me? I loved all the music, and the end ballad was like something straight out of the 90s. I'm not going to get into spoiler territory. However, I am going to detail my movie-going experience, because when I got to the theater, you guys, I lost my shit. So Matt and I saw it at an iPic theater, which an iPic is like the most amazing theater in the world. Like, you, they have reclining chairs, they give you pillows and blankets. It is fantastic. They have waiters that come and serve you food and drinks. You can order like good food, like pizzas and all that kind of stuff. Whatever. This is not an ad for iPic. However, I say that because there's not a lot of seats in the rows. So there's like, you're seated in like clumps of four with these reclining chairs, right? It was a special occasion for my birthday because tickets are a little expensive. And so we get there, Matt and I sit down, and we're seated in a row of four, but it's just us two. So there's no one next to us to the left. However, in the row of four in front of us was a woman, a queen, a legend, an icon by the name of Lea Michele. I know that I'm probably the only person on earth that really was that excited about it, but I love Lea Michele, you guys. As you guys know, I've been saying on this podcast for what seems like a lifetime that Lea Michele needs to join the Wicked movie, and that Lea Michele is a star, an icon, a legend. So that's the that on that. Matt and I sit down in our reclining chairs, and then Matt turns to me before the movie starts, and he goes, "Hey, that's Lea Michele." And I gay gasped. So all the straight men in Venom next door to us could hear me gay gasp. And I got so unbelievably excited. So the entire film, I was just watching Lea Michele, because first of all, I'm a huge Lea Michele fan, so of course I was excited. Second of all, what a movie to see Lea Michele watching. This was the role Lea Michele was born to play. I mean, she surely should have been in A Star Is Born. Was she attached at some point? Possibly. I mean, this Star Is Born remake had everyone attached at one point. I mean, Beyonce was attached at one point. Rihanna was attached at one point. Lady Gaga ultimately got the role, but I'm sure that Lea Michele at least had a meeting for it. So she's seated in the cluster of four in front of me with three other men, three other gay men. Like, I'm assuming they were gay. I don't know that for sure, but there were two. It looked like what appeared to be a couple, and then a man so it was like a couple on to the right of Lea Michele, and then to the left of her was another man. Now, I was so caught up in the Lea Michele-ness of it all that I wasn't paying attention to the men at first. So let me paint the picture. So we're sitting there, the iPic is playing these previews before the movie. I'm staring, like, Lea's like basically diagonal for me. And by the way, is this appropriate to be talking about on a national platform? Probably not. But I was too excited that I had to share this with you all. So my apologies if any of the gays that were with Lea Michele are listening. My apologies. Lea Michele is basically like directly in front of me, but like to a diagonal angle. So like I could see her profile during the entire film. So the previews start and I'm giddy. Like, I'm giddy. I felt like the universe's birthday gift to me. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, the universe gave me a gift. This is it. Here it is. She was serving me hair, body, face, just like Lady Gaga's Allie character in the movie said. Anyway, the previews start and I'm already so giddy, but then, you guys, then something happened that I thought was very odd. There was a preview for the stage version of the play Funny Girl. Of course, Funny Girl synonymous with Barbara Streisand, another Barbara Streisand vehicle. And so apparently there's like a movie version of this, like a recording of the stage version of Funny Girl playing. So I'm watching Lea Michele because, of course, I'm thinking Glee. She performed Don't Rain on My Parade. We all know that Lea loves Barbara Streisand. She's been very vocal about her love of Barbara in the press. So I'm like watching Lea watch a preview for Funny Girl starring somebody else. And at one point, like one of the gays that was with her, like grabbed her arm and like did a little like, oh my God, Lea, look. So I'm like watching that. So then all of a sudden I'm starting to think like, what's going on? I'm starting to get conspiracy theories going in my head. I'm like, did Leah have them play a Funny Girl trailer? Because we saw these big budget movie trailers. And then all of a sudden we see a movie trailer for the stage version of Funny Girl. Like, that felt off to me. And I'm starting to think, like, what's happening? Like, did Leah rent out this theater or something? So then the waiters come around. Everyone orders their stuff. Leah orders a beer. She got a Sierra Nevada. And the man next to her got a whiskey. And then the other two gay men, or what I assume were two gay men, they like cheersed and kissed at one point. So I know that they were at least definitely bisexual. I think they were a couple, but I don't know for sure what they sexually identify as. But I'm assuming they were either gay or bi because they did cheers and kiss at one point with their martini glasses. And again, this was a showing of A Star Is Born. So I have to assume that almost everyone in the theater was gay. Or a female. Anyway, and I thought, wow, she's drinking a beer. Like, is this must be a stress release for her. Because I was thinking, like, I wonder if she's watching this and she's a little bit like, oh, that role should have been mine. Keep in mind, like, I have no idea what's going to happen in this movie. I'm thinking, I did loosely watch the Barbara version, but, like, I didn't know exactly, like, the intricacies of what this plot would entail. So then I'm watching this film, and there's stuff about, like, Allie, played by Lady Gaga. She, in the movie, you know, does not like her looks. She feels like she can't be a star because of her big nose. And we all know Leah has been vocal in the press, again, saying that people have told her she should get a nose job. This is Leah's story on screen. This is literally Leah's story. So I'm, like, watching her watch this film. And again, I don't even know if the movie was that good or watching Lea Michele watch A Star Is Born was that good. Like, it's all unclear to me. But so then I'm thinking, like, this is a little weird. Like, a Funny Girl thing played ahead of it, and then Lea was, like, literally in front of me, and Matt had brought me here for my birthday. So earlier in the day, I asked Matt, I said, do you want to change our tickets? Because he had bought tickets to the 3:30 showing. And there was, like, a 3 o'clock showing. And I asked him, I said, do you want to go a little earlier? We'll change our tickets. And Matt said, no. And I thought, wait, that's weird. So now I'm starting to get this conspiracy theory in my head that Matt organized Leah Michele to see A Star Is Born with me for my birthday. I'm thinking, this is, like, an elaborate plan. The seed's already planted in my head. So then Matt turns to me and he goes, oh, I got to run to the restroom. Just as he gets up, Leah Michele gets up. They get up at the same time to go to the restroom. Now, Matt could care fucking less about Leah Michele. He does not like Leah Michele, which is grounds for a breakup, but that's a tale for another time. So while they're gone, I'm thinking, Matt organized Leah Michele to see A Star Is Born with me. And as soon as the lights go down, she's going to wish me a happy birthday and sing to me. Which, saying now, I realize is crazy. But at the time, you have to understand that, like, endorphins were flowing, my serotonin levels were high. I truly thought that Leah Michele was at some point going to sing happy birthday to me in a theater full of people. And so when Matt's in the bathroom, I'm looking around and I'm thinking, oh my God, all my friends are here. I'm like, all of my friends are in this theater. Like, I had no idea. So I'm starting to, like, look around. I'm waiting for there to be, like, brighter daytime scenes in the movie so that I can, like, see people's faces. Because I'm thinking, where's my friends? Like, come out, wherever you are, guys. Like, let me see your faces. I know what's happening. I'm in on it. So then Matt gets back at the exact same time as Leah Michele. Like, they literally arrive back at the seats at the same time. Like, this is, it's all happening Sheena Shea style. And this is my birthday gift. So the movie's going, and the whole movie, I'm just sitting there thinking, like, oh my God, like, I can't wait for this to end because I'm going to have to act surprised, even though I figured out the surprise, you know, and I always tell Matt I hate surprises. He knows every single birthday he tries to surprise me, and I'm always like, stop it, like, I hate surprises, don't do it. So I'm thinking, I'm going to have to play this up, and I'm going to have to pretend, I'm going to be like, oh, Matt, like, you know I don't like surprises, but this one was okay. You know, I'm, like, planning in my head, planning my reaction, and I'm planning, like, how mad. Does this make sense? I'm planning, like, how mad I should be about a surprise because I've told him so many times that I hate surprises. So I'm thinking, how much should I play off that I'm mad about the surprise, but that I'm happy about the fact that he got Leah Michele in a private theater showing of A Star Is Born to sing me happy birthday. as the movie's playing, it's a very dramatic, emotional film. I mean, there's all sorts of really sad things that happen in this movie, but I'm like giddy with excitement because I'm just thinking, well, this is going to end, and Lea Michele's going to stand up and get on a microphone and sing happy birthday to me like fucking Marilyn Monroe and singing to the president. I'm like, where's Ryan Murphy? Is he filming this? Sad things are happening on screen. I'm just like smiling down. I'm like, I'm looking over at Matt and I'm like flirtatiously giggling. I'm like, oh, you, like, this was such a nice thing, you know? Like, you're going to get you're going to get the good sex tonight, Matt. And then at one point, like, I look down and I'm thinking, oh, wait, I think Jonathan Groff is with her. So it's all happening. Like, truly, I'm so, so excited. So then the movie ends. And again, very, very sad ending. Very sad song, very sad ending. I'm not shedding not a single tear because if anything, a tear out of excitement. Any moment, the lights are going to come on, everyone's going to yell surprise, and then Lea Michele's going to serenade me. Well, Matt leans over to me as the credits are rolling, and he says, hey, you ready? Like, because I'm seated tight. You know, like, I'm sitting for the credits. And most of the theater was sitting for the credits. Like, in LA, I feel like a lot of people sit for the credits because they either know someone that worked on the movie or they want to be respectful to those that worked on the movie. Or, you know, frankly, for A Star Is Born, they were sitting in their seats crying. And they didn't want to get up and be under the theater lobby lights to see, for everyone to see their tears. I'm still seated, but I'm not crying. I'm just like smiling. I'm like looking around. I'm like, when's it all happening? And Matt leans over to me and he says, you ready to get out of here? So then I think, oh my God, like, I'm so stupid. Like, we're going to another room. Of course, they need to get they have another showing of A Star Is Born. They got to clear out the theater. So Matt must have rented another room where Lea Michele is going to do a duet with Jonathan Groff. We get out of the theater and I'm still smiling. I'm on cloud nine. Everyone else is coming out of the theater in tears. And I'm like, oh my God, Matt, and like, you are so silly. Like, I can't believe you're going through this elaborate plan to like guide me into another room at the IPIC theater for my birthday. So then we keep walking and Matt's headed towards the car. Like, we're walking towards the car and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like, are we driving somewhere else? Like, this, are we going to a second location with Lea Michele? Like, what? I'm still like, oh my gosh, Matt, like, you got me. Like, driving. I started to maybe second guess this whole thing. And then Matt turned down a weird street, not on the way home. And I'm thinking, oh, okay. Like, so we're going to like, a club, or maybe we're going to the club. He turns down the other street and he slams on his brakes because somebody, almost hit the car. And he's like, that's why I'm going this way, because all these bad drivers are out this weekend. And so then I'm thinking, like, is this a red herring, or like, what do they call it? Then, you guys, we pull down our street. As we're pulling into the house, like, my excitement's going down. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to get that Star Is Born tear in my eye. But it's not because of Allie's performance. It's not because of Lady Gaga's performance in the film. It's because I'm realizing that I saw Star Is Born with Lea Michele, and I left the theater without saying anything. Like, if I would have known that Lea Michele was not going to be going to the second location with me, like, I would have said something to her. Like, I don't go up to every celebrity, but I would have. I love Lea Michele. I love her. So, like, what happened? I'm like, here I was thinking this big birthday surprise was happening, and then it wasn't happening. We get home and then we had plans to go to like a later dinner. So then we were headed out to dinner and I'm just devastated. Of course, then I'm realizing like this Lea Michele situation was not happening for me. Surprise, Sheena Shea. It's not all happening. That's what I'm going to get tattooed on my forearm. It's not all happening. So then Matt's driving. I grab the auxiliary cord and I go to put on some music. So I'm like, you know what? I'm devastated. Matt's like, oh, are you putting on the Star Is Born soundtrack? And I'm like, no, I'm putting on Lea Michele's debut album, her solo album. I'm putting on a song called Battlefield, which is my favorite song. It was written by Sia. # justice for Battlefield. And Matt hates the song because I listen to it all the time and it's like very sad and depressing. He always hears me like blasting it in the house and in the shower or anywhere really. So I put the auxiliary cord and he's like, oh, why aren't you listening to the Star Is Born soundtrack? I'm like, hold on, I just need a moment with Lea Michele. He's like, I can't hear that. He's like, play anything but Lea Michele. He's like, I just had to watch a movie with her. Like, why are we listening to her? And I exploded at him, you guys. Like, I lost it. I was like, fuck you. You should be blessed that you saw A Star Is Born with Lea Michele. How dare you? I'm like swearing. How fucking dare you? How fucking, you should feel blessed. How do you not feel blessed that you just got to see it in her presence? Like, how dare you? And Matt's eyes, you guys, he was ready to leave me then and there. And to be honest, in hindsight's 2020, he should have. He should have left me. He shouldn't have gone to dinner with me. I don't deserve a birthday. Like, I don't know why he didn't just pull over, kick me out of the car. It was a dark moment for me, and I said some things that I shouldn't have, and I regret that. I regretted them instantly. And then Matt, of course, let me go on to listen to Battlefield, and then we listened to it one time, and then, of course, we went to the Star Is Born soundtrack, which is fantastic. Again, a fantastic soundtrack. But I was upset. You know, sometimes we say things that we don't mean, and did I blow up on him a little bit? Yeah. But I felt like it was for good reasons. I was devastated. I didn't say anything to Lea Michele in the showing of A Star Is Born. I mean, it was a missed opportunity. I could have asked her to come on this podcast and, you know, given her official review. I could have asked Jonathan Groff to give his official review of A Star Is Born for the Everything Iconic listeners. But alas, it did not happen. And look, as a gay who watched every single episode of Glee, it took everything in me, every ounce of my being, not to lean over and whisper in Lea Michele's ear, "It should have been you up there." No shade to Lady Gaga, who did fantastic, and I loved her performance. She did great. The movie was great. But, I mean, it took so much gay restraint not to lean in and whisper that in Lea Michele's ear. I deserve a gay medal of honor. I truly do. Still a good birthday, but could it have been a better birthday? Yes. I don't know. But the movie was great, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Again, the music was great. But I was singing, "Matt, why did you do this to me?" And P.S., did you guys hear about how Lady Gaga might be in Funny Girl on Broadway? That's like a rumor going around now. Apparently, Rosie is going to be in it with her, my queen, Rosie O'Donnell. Apparently, she's doing it with Lady Gaga. And if that happens, like, I don't know what'll happen with Lea Michele. I don't know what's going to happen with her. It's going to ruin her. She's going to get more than a beer at that showing of Funny Girl. We do have to get to Housewives. Before we do, I want to say thank you to Home Goods. Home Goods, of course, you guys know I love them. They sent me the biggest package of Gather goods. So you guys, a few weeks ago on the show, I mentioned how my mom has all these Gather items around her house and how I go to Home Goods and I always try to take one Gather item out of the cart, like one, one piece of decorative signage that says Gather. Well, I do love it, and Home Goods listened to the episode, and they sent me the best package of Thanksgiving-themed stuff, so now I just love Home Goods even more, so I apologize. I might be talking about them more. Not today, I mean, but, you know, just be forewarned. I love them so, so much. And also, before we get to this week's Orange County in Dallas, I have a very special interview with Amy Phillips. I felt like I haven't really done a lightning round in a while. Like, I tried on Monday's episode, I tried to do it with the guest, and unfortunately, they didn't really come through with a lot of answers. So I took to a friend, and you guys know her from, of course, Bravo, Watch What Happens Live. She does the impressions of all the housewives, Amy Phillips. She's so, so lovely. So I did a radio show and I brought my equipment and I was like, we got to do a lightning round. So I want to play this quick pop culture lightning round with Amy Phillips. She's fantastic. And her Bethany impression is literally my favorite thing in the world. Like, it's so, so good. So we'll listen to that and then we'll go right into Orange County. Okay, guys, I'm here with Amy Phillips. We're going to do a quick lightning round.
Hi.
And then, Amy, we're going to have you on the show another time.
Oh, my gosh, yes,
please.
We're
going to do a quick little pop culture lightning round.
So
these are fast, but they don't have to be fast. As fast as you want. You choose.
Okay.
Shahs of Sunset or Married to Medicine?
Shahs.
Alexis Bellino or Lynn Curtin?
Alexis.
All-time favorite movie?
Oh, my God.
Not all Bravo
Gaslight. Related. Gaslight. I like old movies.
Favorite Mariah Carey song?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm not a huge...
That's a wrap on Amy
baby,
Phillips.
Baby, baby. Baby, baby.
Oh, that's not...
Isn't there a song about a baby?
We'll say Always Be My Baby. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's okay. The one. That's the one.
Who's the most underrated...
Oh, no, I love her Christmas album. I'm going with the Christmas album. I listen to it every year a million times.
So, so good.
Okay.
Most underrated housewife of all time?
Well, you know what? We were just talking about it, but I'm going to say Oh, God. No, I was going to say Carlton, but now I take that witch. Back. Oh, God. Who's underrated?
I do feel like Carlton was underrated. Like, I know people...
Sonia. I think Sonia's underrated.
Ramona Pinagrigio or Skinny Girl Margarita?
Ramona Pinagrigio.
Money Can't Buy You Class or Chic C'est La Vie? You can only listen
money.
To one.
Money Can't Buy You Class.
Which would you rather bring back from the dead? Princesses of Long Island or Gallery Girls?
Oh, my God. Okay, Gallery Girls for sure.
Gallery Girls, wasn't it the best?
It was the best.
It's the best TV.
Oh, God, I miss it.
Who's the most naturally funny housewife?
Bethany.
Mm-hmm. Who's the most difficult housewife to impersonate? Is she like one that you haven't been able to?
I tried to do it and it just wasn't good.
Yeah.
Her voice is so, it's just very hard. I can't get my voice to be that naturally raspy.
Who's your favorite to do?
Ramona Singer. First one. favorite one. Cool. Always forever.
Yeah. What's your favorite non-Bravo TV show? Or what are you watching?
Arrested Development is one of my favorite shows of all time.
So good.
Yeah.
The Comeback. Do you ever watch that?
Love The Comeback.
I'm not giving you an answer.
Oh my God.
Like,
I love The Comeback. Yes.
Jessica Simpson or Mandy Moore?
Jessica Simpson.
Favorite Julia Roberts movie?
Pretty Woman.
Sleepless in Seattle or You've Got Mail?
Sleepless in Seattle.
What sign are you?
I'm Aquarius.
What should Jennifer Love Hewitt do next?
Be on a show called 411.
If you hosted Play by Play, who would you want on the panel? Like, not me.
Oh,
you can't
okay.
say me, but who else would you want on the panel? Three other people.
Michelle Collins. Oh,
brilliant. Genius.
Bryce Sander. Love him. Mm-hmm.
So smart.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I got to get some
What if you had to pick a housewife for it?
Oh, a housewife?
Yeah, you have to throw one housewife in there.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, shit. Sorry.
Probably Carlton.
So many housewives to choose from.
No one said Carlton's name as much as we have this day.
Who would, I want to say Nene.
Nene would be great.
Yeah.
If you were choosing Sexiest Man Alive for People Magazine, who would you choose?
Hold on a second. I'm really into Oliver Hudson right now.
He's very sexy.
I'm really into Oliver Hudson.
And Amy, where can people listen to your radio show? It's on SiriusXM.
It's on SiriusXM. Radio Andy.
Can you do it as Bethany?
Channel 102. And I'm like, you like listen to it. Like, but if you don't, like, I don't care. Like, Carol, like, don't have Carol listen to it. Like, run a marathon, like Skinny Girl, like Puerto Rico. Be strong.
I love you so much.
I love you, Danny.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Okay, it's Housewives recap time. We are going to start with Real Housewives of Dallas because we start with Orange County every week. So I feel like we should start with Dallas. Before we do, I first want to say happy 35th birthday, Ian, from your Bradley Bear. Congrats on the new house. He wanted me to say that, you guys. So that was a little shout out. So happy birthday. And then also, you guys, we need to talk about Bethany Frankel. She's dating a new man, allegedly. She's been photographed holding hands with a 29-year-old male model tech investor. Now, I thought I was Team Carol, but now maybe I'm switching sides because this man looks very hot, and I'm so happy. I'm always so thrilled when anyone, you know, gets some hot young man. Bethany deserves some good sex, so good for you, B. Be strong. Be getting laid. Be getting that young dick. Sorry, that was inappropriate. That was inappropriate. I'm sorry. It is what it is. Now on to the Real Housewives of Dallas. So we open, first of all, Leanne, Stephanie, and Cameron, they're getting together. I like this little threesome. It's like an interesting little group. Now, they're having lunch while Deandra and Brandy are having lunch. And Deandra tells Brandy that she's heard from multiple people that Rich is unfaithful. Now, she said this in her confessional, and I just don't like that Deandra is going so hard on Leanne. And if someone's your best friend, like Leanne was in Deandra's wedding. So it's like the fact that Deandra is now in her confessional saying that she's heard that Rich is unfaithful, that feels very gross to me. And of course, I've mentioned this before and I'll mention it again. I feel very protective of Leanne because I love her. I love her on the show. And I feel like a sense of protection, a protectiveness over Leanne. So I was not happy about Deandra doing that. And then meanwhile, Leanne's having this charity event and Leanne is saying that she invited Deandra. Deandra shows up. At first, she doesn't show up at all. And Leanne says in her confessional, maybe I'll have a shove a K-cup up your ass party and she'll show up. I died because we're still talking about that time Deandra shoved a K-cup up her butt. And I hope we never stop talking about it. It's been mentioned, I think, once an episode. I think we did take 1 week off, but pretty much all season, we've at least had one passing mention of the K-cup up Deandra's butt. And again, one of my favorite things I've ever seen on a Housewives franchise. So Deandra eventually does show up to this black tie event, and she shows up drunk with Brandy. Now, they were both wasted. And Deandra said she gave Brandy an outfit because Brandy couldn't drive all the way home. And I swear, like, the outfit that Deandra gave Brandy was just a uniform from TGI Fridays. Like, it looked like Brandy was going to her shift at the hostess stand at TGI Fridays. And I was like, why did Deandra give her this outfit? You know, it was a dark moment. It was. And Brandy was so drunk, she, like, couldn't stand straight. And Leanne's like, what the fuck is Brandy even doing here at this party? Then we cut to Cam, who was talking to her husband about Sparkle Dog. They were on a call about the success of Sparkle Dog, and they did have a call about it. And the person, look, you guys, I have to slow down for a second. So I had actually left the room during this point. I was getting a snack. And so I did miss who the person was that was calling. However, I did note that the person they spoke with on the phone said that Sparkle Dog food would be successful overseas. Was he right? I don't know. TBD. Time will tell. Time will tell. I, of course, think it will be. But I know most of you out there do not agree. And I support your convictions. Then we cut to Stephanie, who's getting her vagina lasered because she pees her pants a lot. And this was another dark moment. Another dark moment. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. We have to embrace the blue humor when it comes to the Real Housewives of Dallas. Because they're going to be talking about poop pee, getting their vaginas lasered. It is what it is. That's what this show is. And, you know, so Stephanie at Carrie's laser clinic getting her vagina lasered was a dark moment. It was. Then we get to the real meat of this episode, which was the 1980s AIDS party. So this got all the girls together to dress up. They were going to their 80s prom, and the outfits were really fun. And I, first of all, I got really excited because I love when these women get in costumes and they argue in costumes. Like, that's when these shows are at their best. It's an art form. Ladies arguing in costume is an art form, and the housewives know how to do it the best. And so all these women were dressed in teased hair. Brandy was dressed as some sort of, like, Little Richard. I think she meant to be dressed as maybe, like, Michael Jackson or something, but I was just getting Little Richard vibes. Like, Tutti Frutti, oh, Rudy. Do you guys remember that song? Tutti Frutti, oh, Rudy. Stars Born Wishes. Anyway, that Brandy looked ridiculous, and all of them looked good. Brandy and Stephanie went together as, like, dates, which was really cute. I did worry me a little bit that they were forgetting the purpose of this 80s prom, which was AIDS research. You know, I kind of felt like that none of these women knew what they were going to the party for, except for maybe Leanne and Cam. Like, they were just showing up to this charity event, which was for a very important cause. However, I think the other girls just thought they were going to prom. Leanne always does seem like, again, here I am sticking up for Leanne again, but she always does seem like an ally. I feel like whenever I see her at a charity event, she seems like she's taking it seriously, and she does a lot of charity work, even on the off season. I feel like we always, if you follow her on social media, you know she's always going to an event. I feel like she really believes in her charities, and so I respect that. The other women, on the other hand, I don't know if they knew where they were, but it was great for us to watch. And they all started piling into this party. Leanne said in her confessional, Deandra nailed the 80s. She looked like she did yesterday. And I loved it. I loved it. So Brandy confronted Leanne again at this 80s prom. And these two have never been able to get on the same page. They clearly just don't like each other. And I think that's fine. I think they should just separate. But Leanne was, of course, mad at Brandy for showing up at her other charity event drunk, uninvited, and also for trying to get Deandra to not be friends with Brandy, really. Leanne and Brandy are talking, and Brandy kind of loosely mentions about Deandra saying that Rich and Leanne live separate lives and that Rich was allegedly unfaithful on Leanne, which, again, was inappropriate for Deandra to say. But then Leanne kind of went below the belt, I thought, and she said that the baby that Brandy and her husband are fostering to adopt, she said, was that a way for them to save their marriage? And I even was shocked at this. I was even shocked. I thought, like, that was a low blow. I gasped. I gay gasped. And then Brandy, of course, said to Leanne that she's jealous of Deandra. And I don't get any of this jealousy thing. I don't think Leanne's jealous of Deandra. I don't know. I feel like at this point, they're all just saying things to sort of cut the core, you know, to cut each other down. And I don't think they really mean any of it. I don't. I don't think Deandra means to say that Rich is unfaithful. I don't think Leanne means to say that Brandy and her husband are adopting to save their marriage. I think they're all just trying to hurt you. Hurt people hurt people. That's a saying. I have that on a pillow somewhere. Hurt people hurt people. So I wish they'd stop hurting each other. You know, let's all get along. Tutti frutti. Now I can't stop thinking about Brandy as Little Richard. Like, she goes to the party city and she's like, give me your best Little Richard. I'm so stupid. So then Deandra comes into this fight between Brandy and Leanne, and she says that she heard that Leanne and Rich are living separate lives. And Leanne says, if I hear Rich and I are living separate lives one more time, I'm going into a rage of fury that the fucking meditation bowl can't get me out of. This was a great callback, a great line, great delivery. 5 stars all around. It was so good. Meanwhile, the other girls are all talking, and Brandy confronts Carrie about, you know, going around and saying everything that all these girls are telling Carrie. Like, Carrie's literally not keeping one secret, and she's not even trying to hide it. Brandy's telling Carrie, like, why did you say that stuff to Leanne that I said to you privately? And Carrie's just like, yeah, I'm an asshole. Carrie definitely got an ultimatum from producers who told her, be an asshole, and you have to be the one stirring the pot this whole season. And if you're not, you're not coming back. That's what I truly believe. In between seasons, I think producers met with Carrie, as they met with all the girls, and they were trying to figure out what was going on, what they have coming up. And I really, truly believe they were like, Carrie, what do you have coming up? Carrie didn't have a lot coming up. Carrie could sense maybe in their interview, like, oh, I don't have a lot coming up. Do you guys want me? And I could tell the producers were probably like, I don't really know if we need you. Maybe we'll bring you back as a friend of. And Carrie's like, well, what can I do to come back as a main character? Like, what? What can I do to come back full time? And they were like, stir up some bullshit and do not keep any secrets and we'll bring you back. And I think that's what Carrie did. And I refuse to believe anything different. I don't know that for a fact. I refuse to believe any different is frankly what I have to say. That's the that on that. It's fact to me now. So Deandra and Leanne are still arguing in the corner, and Deandra says that, you know, she's calling bullshit. She's like, I call bullshit. And Leanne's like, I call bullshit. And it's like, they're all saying this phrase, I call bullshit, which I know is a popular saying, but it just, this whole episode, I felt like Brandy said it at one point to Leanne. She's like, I call bullshit. And Deandra's like, I call bullshit on this. I just want someone to say like a very obvious punchline, like, who's bullshit? Which I know is very stupid, but I just want someone to say, who's bullshit? Like a who's on first kind of thing. I feel like they're all really missing that opportunity. Then Leanne was anointed prom queen, like the legend that she is. She cried in her confessional about it, and I love that. And then we see on next week, Dee, you guys, Dee's back next week. And in the preview for next week, she's talking to Deandra, and she's like, I don't give a dog's rip. And we know, from the last time that Deanne and Deandra sat down in her office, she said something like that too. She's like, I don't give a rip.
You can go out here and sell it on the street if you want to. I don't really give a rip what you do.
I don't give a horse's rip.
I really don't give a dog's rip.
Such a weird phrase. Like, I don't, she's just naming animals and she's like, I don't give a cat's rip. I don't give a parrot's rip. I don't give a dog's rip. I don't give a turtle's rip. I don't give a pig's rip. You can really say it with any animal, truly. I don't give a spider's rip. I love it. I'm so excited for more Dee. I want Dee on every episode, and I want her as a main cast member. So that's Dallas. I know I really rushed through it, but we got to get to Orange County. We have a lot to fit in.
Where are you going?
Shannon's having a celebratory dinner at her house tonight.
She's going celibate?
Oh, celebratory. Celibate when she was married. Actually, she did celibate. She sold a lot. So
she's having a celibate party?
Celebratory.
All right.
Party.
Okay, Orange County. I'm going to make this quick. There's not a whole lot that was going on in Orange County. It was sort of a filler episode. Of course, we're going to Jamaica next week, which is exciting. And also kind of cringeworthy. I don't know if you guys saw in the preview of next week when they're wearing the dreadlock hat things. That is very offensive. And I'm shocked that no one of that group realized that that was a bad idea. But you know what? That's Housewives for you. It is. But anyway, in this week's episode, I don't know, there's a lot of stuff about Emily with the fertility doctor, which, look, I didn't find it very interesting, but I do think Emily is stunningly beautiful. Like, the more that I'm looking at Emily, the more I just like the way that she looks. I mean, of course, I like her personality, too. Like, I like the new girls, but Emily's stunning looking. And then, meanwhile, Gina's, like, sort of crying about her marriage. She did say, it made me laugh, she said, I can't cry anymore because I can't afford to get any more wrinkles. And I get that. I get that. So I mentioned when I was talking about Dallas about doing like a who's on first bit, and Orange County definitely did that with Tamara and Eddie talking about Shannon's celebratory party. And I played the little clip of it. It's just, it made me laugh in like a cringy way. Like, I was cringing so hard that I was laughing. Because they were trying to do this bit, and again, Eddie just seems like he's so uninterested in being on camera. Like, he does not want to be there. And you know who else didn't want to be on camera is Michael, Vicky's son. Like, every time Michael's on camera, and I love looking at him because Michael is very attractive. Like, I hate myself for saying that, but Michael's cute. And every time he's on camera, like, since the beginning of time, since the beginning of this franchise, he has seemed like he does not want to be in front of a camera. And yet he's continuously thrust in front of a camera. Like, Brianna, at least I felt like she was a little more comfortable being on camera. But Michael just seems like he hates it. He seems like he does not like his mother. And again, I find him really cute. I'm not proud of that. But back to Tamara. So Tamara and Eddie are doing that bit, and they're talking about his heart. It's sad. I love Tamara's kitchen table, though. Her little breakfast nook. Ooh, I thought that was super cute. Like, that square, I don't think it's her main dining table, but I love that square little breakfast area table. Ooh, I love it. Then we get to Shannon. Shannon hasn't responded to Emily's texts. You guys, Shannon's just rude as fuck. And here's the thing. I loved Shannon. Shannon was one of my favorites. Like, if you listen to a lot of my older episodes from last season, I always loved Shannon. I think she's a great housewife. However, lately, like, I'm just not liking her at all, and I'm finding the negativity just too overwhelming, and I find her to be too rude to all the other women. She's so rude to Gina, she's rude to Emily, and we've seen it before. She was like this to Kelly before when Kelly joined the cast, and I don't know. I'm just over it, and I'm really hoping something changes. Like, I want to get back to liking Shannon again. I really do, because I always thought she made great TV and was compelling, but this season, like, I've just totally turned on her, and I don't know that I'm going to be able to get back there. I don't know. And all of these women, you guys know, like, I feel like we all can change at the drop of a hat. Like, we love them one week, and we hate them the next. And even, like, the Bethany and Carol stuff, like I mentioned, am I turning back to Team Bethany? I think so. Like, you can change instantly. Instantly, I can change my opinions about these women, but I'm not sure about changing my opinion on Shannon. I'm a little bit worried about it. And so she has all the girls over, and this is where they decide they're going to Jamaica. And we've all seen these scenes before of them all trying to force a spur of the moment trip. Like, they're like, let's celebrate Shannon's QVC line, which again, I think Shannon just kind of slapped her name on. Like, I don't know how much Shannon's really doing for this line of foods, but anyway, they're going to Jamaica to celebrate. And then Shannon served something that looked like a microwavable meal. And it did not look good. You guys, it did not look good. In fact, the next scene we saw Kelly Dodd and her daughter Jolie at a soup kitchen, and the soup kitchen food looked better than the meals Shannon was thinking about freezing and selling on QVC. You guys, P.S., this week I was on a podcast called The Friends of the Real Housewives, and it's a Housewives podcast, and we were talking about Shannon's QVC line, and I was remembering, I got these flashbacks of one of the only times I ever, this was actually the only time I ever took my parents' credit card when I was a kid. I took their credit card to order something from the Warner Brothers store off of QVC. I don't know, it was either QVC or HSN, but they did like a Warner Brothers store hour on the TV, and I remember watching it as a kid, and it was like a full hour where they were selling like Looney Tunes goods. Do you remember back in the day how like they would do, it would be like Bugs Bunny and Taz as Crisscross, you know, like the t-shirts or the sweatshirts. It'd be like Taz and Daffy Duck as Crisscross, or, you know, like, or those starter jackets with like Tweety and Sylvester on. Like, I loved all the Looney Tunes merch. And I remember taking my mom's credit card, and I remember she's like, "What did you buy with my credit card?" And then it came in the mail, like my Tasmanian Devil shirt. And boy, did I get in trouble. But that was the only time I think I've ever ordered anything off QVC, although I plan to order a Lisa Rinna duster in the future. I'm waiting. Next time she's on. But then we cut to Kelly Dodd and Jolie at the soup kitchen. It was really cute. Jolie was really touched by the work, and she didn't know how to clean. And I wondered, I wrote in my notes, do we think they ever went back to that soup kitchen? Like, do we think that was the only time they did it? I do. Then we cut to Shane and Emily, who have dinner, and Shane's making a lot of jokes about himself being short. He orders a Diet Coke, which I know I mentioned a few weeks ago that only fun people drink Diet Cokes. But again, I want to just offer a little bit of a alteration on that statement. Only women and gay men who drink Diet Cokes are fun. I just want to be clear. I don't think straight men who drink Diet Coke are fun. My apologies to if you're a straight man listening and you drink Diet Coke. I do not think that you're fun. but women and gay men, when they get those women and gay men who drink Diet Coke, I find in my experience, in my history, I find that they're the most fun people that we have amongst us. So Shane was drinking a Diet Coke. However, I don't think that he's fun because he's a straight man. And he was being such a dick to Emily. Like, they got their drinks, and Emily's like, cheers. And he was already drinking his Diet Coke, and he's like, hold on a second. And then he just drank more. And I was like, you're being such a fucking dick to Emily. Like, I hate him right there. Just fucking cheers your wife. And she's talking about her fertility. And even at the end, like, she goes to a fertility doctor, and she goes with her fucking in-law because Shane wouldn't go. And I just thought, what an asshole. Ugh. He's just so gross, and he's one of those people who seems to, like, pride himself on being an asshole. Like, he thinks it's so funny and cute, and it's like, it's not. None of us think it's cute or funny, Shane, so cool it. Okay, be a nice human being to your lovely wife who's stunningly beautiful. Ooh. Okay, I'm sorry. And maybe I feel like Shane's just playing it up for the cameras, like he thinks this is funny, but it's not. It's not. Anyway. We see Vicky go to San Diego to visit Michael's. They have a dinner with the whole family. And I was just laughing, thinking about Vicky as a stepmom. She was sitting on the patio or whatever, wherever they were sitting outside. And she's like, I love everyone right now. I love my life. And Vicky's always telling us that. Like, even in the throes of depression, Vicky will tell us she's loving her life. And she said at one point, isn't it funny that none of us are married, but we're all happy? And they're like, yeah, maybe that means like we don't need a marriage to be happy. And she's like, no, I want to be married. I need to be married. And Steve's just like smiling through it. So then at the end of the episode, we see Kelly and Shannon. They get together to have some dinner and they have a few drinks. And Kelly was saying how great it was. She had a night with Michael, her ex-husband, and Jolie. And they had like a great, nice night where they're watching TV, whatever. She's telling Shannon how great it was. And then Shannon, Debbie Downer Shannon, just comes in and says, yeah, that's never going to happen with me. And I just, it's like, Shannon, let her have a moment here. It's like, she's always Debbie Downer. Once you really pay attention to the fact that every time someone says something positive, Shannon says something negative, it's really hard to focus on anything else. And again, all the Shannon lovers out there, I want you to know that I've always been on your side. And I'm hoping that my mood on Shannon turns around, because I don't like it either. I think she makes great TV. She does. She has compelling storylines. She does. She's rude, which is good in a housewife sometimes. So I'm hopeful that she'll flip things around and maybe get a little bit nicer, a little bit more fun. Maybe in Jamaica. Then Kelly and Shannon start to talk about how Gina and Emily say that, you know, Shannon's hard to get to know. And Shannon says, I don't know those girls. And it's like, well, you're cast on a show with them, so get to know them. They're trying. They're trying. And then the episode ends. It felt like a filler episode. We're getting to the vacation. It was a little upsetting to see them so early on in the episode say, like, let's go to Jamaica, and then have to sit through the rest of the episode, because it was like, let's just get to Jamaica. Now we're all excited about Jamaica. I don't need a whole long bit here. A couple other things I want to mention before we wrap things up. The Dirty John trailer looked fantastic. Fan-fucking-tastic. I mean, Eric Bana, Connie Britton, I love both of them so much. Connie Britton is a queen, a god amongst us. She's stunning. Her hair is perfect. I mean, she's a legend and an icon. And Eric Bana is so handsome, still handsome. One of my favorite all-time movies, I was just tweeting about this, one of my all-time fave films is The Time Traveler's Wife trailer on YouTube. I've only seen the movie once, but I've watched the trailer at least like 5 times a year. Like whenever I'm in a mood and I like want like a romance, but in 4 minute form, I go and watch The Time Traveler's Wife trailer, which starred him and Rachel McAdams. The trailer gives you everything you need from the movie. It gives you romance. It gives you drama. It gives you a Lifehouse song. It's everything you need. I have a lot of movies like that too. I always watch the Morning Glory trailer, also starring Rachel McAdams. That, what else? I feel like all the romance, like, or a lot of rom-com trailers, like, sometimes I'll just watch the trailer. Oh, P.S. I Love You, you know, that Hilary Swank movie? Movie's not that great, but the trailer, 5 stars. 5 stars. So anyway, The Dirty John is going to be this new drama that's coming to Bravo, and it's a limited series. It looks fantastic. Cannot wait. I also want to let everyone know that I'm still loving Below Deck. I'm in this season. I watched the premiere, loved it. And I haven't watched Below Deck for like a season or two. And I think I'm right back on board. There's a new guy named Ashton on it who he's very hot. They dressed him in a diaper. And immediately when I saw him hot and dressed in a diaper, I was like, I'm on board for the season. DVR season pass. Like, I'm in. I'm in. Also, Captain Lee's sexy, and I don't care who knows it. He is. I don't make the rules. Facts are facts. But I'm excited. I'm excited to dive back into Below Deck. It's been a while. I felt like I took some time away. Now I'm ready to get back on board with Kate and the gang. So that's our episode. I want to do our cool down. Before I do, I want to say, please follow me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram and on Facebook. It's facebook.com/PellegrinoDanny. Please join the Everything Iconic Facebook group. If you like this podcast, please rate it and review it on iTunes. That would be wonderful. If you want to support this podcast, like if you like the episodes and you want to support it, please head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. Again, that's patreon.com/everythingiconic. Like when you go to that website, there's like a little button that says become a patron. If you click that button and donate $4 or more per month, you get access to all the bonus episodes, which I'm doing Real Housewives of New York recaps of the early seasons. I also did an exclusive comeback pop dive on there. You know, that HBO show. And then also just last week, I did a bonus episode where I talk a little bit more about A Star is Born and some other pop culture things that we needed to get to. So that's on the Patreon. And the money's just going to help support this podcast, which it helps me to make this thing. Now, what else? Oh, next Monday or this coming Monday, it's going to be a Practical Magic pop dive. So I know I said some Halloween pop dives are coming. So we have a Practical Magic one coming this Monday. And I'm super excited. It's really, really great. So I hope everyone will check that out. If you want to watch the movie before the pop dive, it's on HBO Go right now. And now what else? I want to thank Samson Technologies. Samson sent me a bunch of new equipment and they've been fantastic. So thank you, samsontech.com. Now let's do our cool down. The cool down. This has quickly become my favorite part of the show. So I want everyone to take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Take another deep breath in. Now think of someone that you were maybe unkind to, a friend, a family member, someone that you did something unkind. Maybe it was recent, maybe it was in the past. Breathe out. Okay, in the episode of Orange County, we talked about how Shannon was maybe not so nice to the other new girls. And that happens. Sometimes we're not ourselves. Sometimes we're a little bit meaner than we want to be, and maybe we say something mean to a friend, a loved one, and then we go about our lives and we think about it, and sometimes we forget to apologize. Sometimes we do apologize, but it still sort of sticks with us. So I'd like everyone to go about their day, and if by some chance something came to them, if they thought of a time when they were maybe not so nice to a friend, a family member, or just someone online, anyone, I'd love for you to reach out to them and just say, hey, I'm sorry. Hey, I know I apologized already, but I want to just say I'm still thinking about it and I'm sorry. Or if that hasn't happened, if you didn't think of anything, then just go about your day and know that you were a good person. But if there was something that came to mind that you maybe didn't apologize for, something that stuck with you, I'd encourage you all to go just say I'm sorry. I think those two words, I'm sorry, can really like make such a difference in people's lives. Even if the person might have gone on and not even remembered that you did something mean or bad to them, sometimes it really just makes a big difference if they hear I'm sorry. So reach out to your loved ones, tell them you love them. I love you guys so much for listening. Thank you. Bye-bye.